Hope your day is going well as we're in a holiday week here, Thanksgiving week. Greg McKinney in here. Lonzo is out today. Patrick Brown is sitting in for Lonzo today. By the way, congratulations to you. You had a big weekend.
I did. Detroit Lions won.
Man, you're not starting off very well. Let me try to help you here.
I know. The only reason I said that is because she's not listening. But yeah, I'm engaged.
That's awesome.
To my now fiance, I guess I can say it.
You can say that. Yeah. If she said yes, I assume she said
yes.
Yeah,
she said yes.
All right. Good.
She, of course, like when we got done, she was like, I really should have told you no.
Mm-hmm. That would have been funny.
She was like, I just wanted to see what you would have done. And I'm like, no, stop it. Yeah. All right. We're past that.
Was it a surprise?
To
her?
Yeah, to her.
Yeah.
We went up, we had a thing called, my generation has this weird thing called Friendsgiving.
I think I've heard of that. What is it?
So it's basically where you get a group of your friends and you guys basically have Thanksgiving, but it's with your friends instead of your family.
Okay.
So.
Because you like them better? Is that what it is?
No, I actually prefer my family a lot better. But, you know, that's beside the point. So we went. I had to cook the turkey. Yeah. So I cooked two turkeys. I smoked them. So I was doing that all day. Mm. And then I told everyone, I was like, hey, by the way, we're doing this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So don't say a word.
Yeah.
And of course, there's those two friends in the back who just want to say it. And I looked at them the whole time. I was like, if you say anything,
mm-hmm.
you're going in the smoker.
So they didn't.
They
I
didn't
hope.
Say anything. Good. It was a surprise. Everyone had a good time.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And to her too, I guess. I mean, talk to her a little bit, but. You know.
Yeah, we're still wondering why she said yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because of my radio voice, but that might just be me. Personally.
That's it.
I think that's it. I think that was the sealer.
All right. Wow. Nah, look, that's awesome news. I hope you guys are very happy together. Have you set a date?
No.
Okay.
No, not yet. She's actually the whole show. She's been texting me. Hey, make sure to ask your mom about how many people you're thinking about inviting, so that way we can start getting everything planned. I'm like, I just did this Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me time.
We have one of those going on in our house. Actually, we had one. We had a child married off this past, what would have been 1st of June. So mm-hmm. we had to take a trip out to up to Connecticut. And now we have another one engaged. And what I found out is that you talk about that every day. For a year, you talk about it every day.
I'm legitimately going, all right, look, you're doing this. I'm just going to say yes.
That's easy. That's probably smart, too.
That's basically where I'm at, except for the food. That one I'm going to have full control over.
Well, I like that. Yeah. You could be the vice president of food. I like
She
that.
Said the food
you
and the beverages something. Are all me.
All right.
And I said, okay, thank you.
All right. Well, congratulations to you and to Wofford College, because Wofford's in the FCS playoffs. The Field of 24 announced yesterday for the FCS playoff championship. And Wofford will be playing host to Elon on Saturday at 2 p.m. at Gibbs Stadium in the first round. Wofford finished up 8-3, 6-2 in the Southern Conference. There was a tie for the league title, but the Terriers had the tiebreaker, so they get the automatic bid. It is Wofford's ninth trip to the NCAA playoffs, third straight year they have gone. They lost to eventual champion North Dakota State in the quarterfinals last year. So the game with Elon will be at 2 o'clock at Gibbs Stadium. Tickets are $25 for adults, $10 for children. Ticket office is open today and tomorrow, or you can buy the tickets online at WoffordTerriers.com/tickets. So congratulations to the first-year head coach, Josh Conklin, and the Wofford Terriers as they make it to the FCS playoffs, and they get a home game. Coming up this Saturday afternoon, you got to like that. And they won't be head-to-head with South Carolina and Clemson. They have to like that as well. The Gamecocks 49-9 winners over Chattanooga at home on Saturday night. So the Gamecocks now bowl eligible at 6-4. Will Muschamp on his conference call last night, highlighting his team's play and some of the standouts for the Gamecocks in that win.
Thought our guys had the right mindset and really came out and played pretty well in all three phases. Took care of business, what you're supposed to do in those type of games. But Jake Bentley was our player of the game offensively. Really has played really good football, taking care of the ball and being accurate with the football. But very pleased with his play. Offensive lineman of the week was Dennis Daly. Continues to have a really good senior year. and our effort guy on offense was Debo Samuel. Some huge explosive plays in the game, but just a guy that continues to play extremely hard when the ball's not in his hands. He was a great gunner for us on punt and didn't get an opportunity in the kickoff return game, but hopefully he will this week. But explosives, we had 14 for the game, which was good. Jake Bentley, Debo Samuel, Shai Smith was really a fantastic catch and run. Brian Edwards, Deshaun Fenwick, Mon Benson, and A.J. Turner. Defensively, player of the game was Jason Sin. We kind of labored over this a little bit, and then just a guy that number was called, and he went out and did a nice job for us. And didn't get a whole lot his way, but when he did, he made plays, and really proud of him. A walk-on that on senior night played 63 snaps in the game, and answered when your number's called. And that's what we talk to our team about all the time. Defensive lineman of the game was Kier Thomas. I thought played really well. Effort guy of the week defensive was Ernest Jones. Really showed up, played fast, is going to be a really good player for us. And glad we were able to get him that many snaps. Ball Hawks was Ernest Jones, Damani Staley, and Israel.
All right, there's Will Muschamp pointing out some guys who stood out in South Carolina's 40-point win over Chattanooga on Saturday night. Bentley was good. He was 25 of 29 passing, 339 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no picks. You got like that with Jake. Don't throw the interceptions. We also got the first look at DeCarrion Joyner in the game on Saturday night. Just 1 for 2 passing, but he did carry the ball 3 times for 24 yards and at least got out there, and we were able to see him. Urich played as well at quarterback along with Skarnecchia. The Gamecocks are very efficient, 364 yards through the air. And they had some banged-up running backs in that game. I mean, it looked like everybody was hurt there for a while. So Deshaun Fenwick got 17 carries for the Gamecocks and took advantage of it. 112 yards and a touchdown for South Carolina. Deshaun Fenwick is a freshman out of Bradenton, Florida. He's 6'1", 220 pounds, and now that he's carried the ball a little bit, maybe they can get him in there a little bit more. But they expect to be healthier going into the Clemson game this week. They had some guys miss some time. A.J. Turner was a little shaky, but he carried it 8 for 65 yards for South Carolina in the game. Debo Samuel, you heard the coach talk about him, 5 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. And Brian Edwards had 4 catches for 69 yards on the day. So pretty easy win. They did not make it dramatic, thankfully, for Gamecock fans. I'm not sure they could have handled a nail biter against Chattanooga on Saturday night.
No, but I think that would have been soul crushing for them.
Yeah, but it was 28-0 at halftime, so they were able to kind of cruise a little bit and try to heal up a little bit and try to do their best to get ready for Clemson. A game in which they are underdogs by 25.5, according to the early line, 25.5 points.
So the question I have is, yes, this is a rivalry game, but a lot of people, including some South Carolina fans, are saying Carolina has no shot in this game.
Right.
Do you go full force in this game, trying to be the upset, trying to be the underdog, and trying to be the hero, or are you going, you know what? May not be our game. We'll try to get the 7th win against Akron.
You go all out. You have to. What else are you going to do? I mean, you expect to beat Akron either way. You should beat Akron either way, no matter what happens. That'd be the plan. Now, they'll go all out, but that's not going to matter. It's just not going to matter.
Yeah, I know it's not going to matter.
I'm not going to be able to. I don't think Gamecock fans are going to be able to use the excuse, we were looking past Clemson to Akron. We were saving ourselves for the Akron game or the bowl game. Now, they'll lay it out, see what they can do. Look, if they can keep it close, then it'll get interesting. But I just don't think they're going to be able to do that beyond about halftime. I mean, look, Clemson struggled against Duke first half last week. That's all you can hope for. Maybe they struggle against you and you're close enough to make it entertaining in the second half. But I got to tell you, man, these seniors for Clemson, they want to match the 5 in a row that South Carolina had over the Tigers leading into the 4 in a row that Clemson now has. They're not going to let off the gas in this game.
So, it also just seemed like Clemson against Duke, they just didn't care about Duke.
They were pretty flat to start.
They're
no
going to care about South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, they'll care.
They'll care about that game. But it was like Duke, they're like,
Yeah.
We're going to beat them regardless, but it's just going to be slower.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Gamecocks, there's just it's hard to come up with that scenario where South Carolina wins this game. Best you can hope for is to be more competitive. That's step number one, because you hadn't really been competitive lately.
Beat the spread.
Yeah.
If you can beat the spread, I will be impressed.
Yeah, might be able to do that. 25.5. Maybe they can beat the spread. They should carry signs, the Gamecocks, in the section over there for the South Carolina fans. Beat the spread signs.
Beat the spread.
BTS signs. Otherwise, in the Southeastern Conference, look, I mean, anything can happen because the Citadel and Alabama were tied at halftime. It was a 50-17 final, but it was 10-10 at halftime.
Can we just give a special shout-out to Citadel's social media activity? Because they were the real winners. They found the old tweet from last week that Alabama said about no score November.
Right.
And they just responded with it with not anymore. And it was Citadel football. Citadel football have won the weekend just by social media alone.
Yeah.
Because they were trash-talking Bama.
They were doing it all week, basically.
It was great.
And then threw a little back at South Carolina for the time they beat them. They brought that back up. Two of 340 yards, three touchdowns. But I'll tell you who had a nice day was Dante Smith for the Citadel. 130 yards rushing and two touchdowns against Alabama. That's memorable for that guy. On just 9 carries. He's got to like that. But 40 points in the second half to blow it out. Alabama 50-17 win there. Georgia, 66 on the board. They gave up 27 to UMass. It's probably more than Kirby Smart wanted them to give up defensively. But 66-27, Georgia wins easily to go to 10-1. Justin Fields played a good bit and had 100 yards rushing for the Bulldogs in that game. LSU over Rice, 42-10 was the final in that. 300-plus yards for Joe Burrow passing in that game. Florida, no trouble with Idaho, 63-10. The only thing that surprised me about that is that I don't know that Florida could score 63 points against anybody, but they did.
Including 14 the first minute.
Yeah, it was 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. So Florida goes to 8-3. Kentucky had a little trouble with Middle Tennessee, but they won. 34-23 was the final in that one. Kentucky now at 8-3 on the year. 116 yards and a couple of touchdowns for Benny Snell, Jr. Man, Arkansas looked bad. Looked bad against Mississippi State. 52-6 was the final. Mississippi State wins it to go to 7-4. Arkansas is now 2-9.
Oh.
2-9. Do they play next week? Let me see what they have. Yeah, they play Missouri. Yeah, at Missouri, they're probably going to lose that one. Going to be 2-10. 2-10 for Chad Morris is the way it's looking right now. Missouri beat Tennessee 50-17. 50-17. I expected a closer game in that one. It was at Neyland Stadium. Drew Locke, 257 yards, and Roundtree rushed for 135 yards. It's just no contest. It was 26-10 at halftime, and didn't get any better in the second half. So Missouri 7-4, Tennessee at 5-6, and of course they have Vanderbilt left. Auburn 53-0 shutout over Liberty. So Auburn at 7-4. Texas A&M. I thought this might be a close game. It wasn't terrible, but 41-20 was the final. Texas A&M over UAB. Second loss of the year for UAB. And Vanderbilt beat Ole Miss. 36-29 was the final in that one. So Vandy at 5-6 and Ole Miss at 5-6. That's what happened in the Southeastern Conference this week. 844-477-3776, the Health Dare text line 71307, and you can get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We'll talk some more college football and a little NBA coming up as well. Stay with us here on the Monday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Did Richmond come back while I was gone? Did Richmond return during the last commercial break?
He popped in and out. I don't know. You were in the bathroom.
All right. Nah, he's not. I mean, look, we still have him on. He fills in. He filled in last week. Welcome back to the Huddle. Lonzo's out today. He will be back next week. Patrick Brown in here with me today. 844-477-3776 in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Got Neil on the line next. Hey, Neil. What's up?
Hey, Greg. Hope you're well. I want to talk NFL. I didn't know if you said it. I didn't hear the beginning of your show, but I feel bad about my boy Alex Smith.
Yeah.
even though he's not one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. He's one of my all-time favorite players. He carries himself with respect. That's why he's so respected in the league. One of the true nice guys in the NFL, and I hated seeing him go down like that, obviously, as a former 49er. Not just that, but I liked him back when he was at Utah. So I know ESPN cannot hype this game up tonight any bigger than they have. I've never seen them hype up a game this much. And, they should. It's going to be a great game. But I disagree with everything I hear about people saying this could be a Super Bowl matchup. First of all, I don't think either team is going to make it. The Rams, I hear all this stuff about the Rams and how Sean McVay is a great offensive coach. But I tell you what he's not is a great defensive coach. They can't stop anybody. You arguably got the best defensive player in the league. And then you've got Sue, who probably is the most naturally strongest guy in the NFL. And they can't stop the run. They're giving it, what, over 5 yards per carry. You would think, they do get pressure because they get such, they get 14, 21-point leads, but they can't protect those leads. They've given up, I think, 30-plus to Seattle twice. Kansas City seems to have figured out a little bit on defense. I think that's more about the fact that they're playing a little slower on offense than they were early on. And that's one of the things I was going to ask you, Greg, before I get to my comment about the 49ers. Why is it that these coaches who have these dynamic offenses, and this is more a question in college than in pro, but their defense absolutely stinks. Why do they continuously run as fast as possible? If your defense is terrible, the best thing is to keep them off the field, right?
Yeah, but it's not what they do. I mean, you got to stay true to yourself on offense, don't you, Neil?
Well, yeah, but if you've got a terrible defense and you know that the chances of them giving up quick scores, the only way that you can protect them at that point is by keeping them off the field so at least they can get some rest, especially if you don't have any backups that are any good. So they're always on the field, the same 11 guys. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. And these scores are, the Oklahomas of the world, they're just getting outrageous with these scores, man. It's like, why even play defense? Why not just put flags and just play flag football at this point? Because that's pretty much what they're doing at this point. It's just up and down the field. Some of these games that are high scoring are actually competitive or fun to watch. Like West Virginia, Oklahoma State, I thought that was not just a – I don't think that was a bad defensive game. That was just offenses making plays. Mm-hmm. But some of these Oklahoma games that I've watched is just disgusting. I mean, there's just no defense. I remember a game a couple years ago. It was Oklahoma, Texas Tech. Nobody was tackling anybody. Like, me and you are old. I mean, you're older than I, but you could have tackled a couple of those guys better than they were tackling on the field that day. I mean, it was pathetic. And stop, it was almost stop, like they wasn't even giving any effort at all.
Stop sweet talking me, Neil.
I'm just anyways, talking. Greg, I'll take this off the air.
Right.
The 49ers, it's actually working out for us to get that number one. The Giants beat us, so they're ahead of us now. We did beat Oakland, but Oakland got a win yesterday, thank God.
Yeah.
And Arizona's already beaten us twice.
Yeah.
So things are starting to work out for us to get that number one. I wanted to take it off the air and ask you, if we do end up getting the number one, what's the best way for us to go? I think we should trade down, but what do you think?
All right, appreciate it, Greg. The call. Look, if you're not going to use number one for a quarterback and the 49ers have Garoppolo, so I think I would trade down. I think I would, you can get some help in other places and get a lot of it for the number one pick. So I don't mind that strategy. Patrick, do you? I mean, look, you're not going to get a quarterback. You're good there. So why burn that pick on, what, a D lineman or something?
Exactly. The thing is you can honestly trade down to a top five or like to 5 to 10 around that area and get some other things with it. The number one pick for a lot of teams is a golden ticket.
Yeah.
You're in control of it. If you don't need a quarterback, offense looks pretty okay. I mean, it's not like a drop-dead offense, but the thing is they can score points. They're not really hurting in any aspects. They're just kind of waiting to see what that final piece is, what they're going to need to get there. And if it's not in the first pick, trade down, see what you can get else with it.
Yeah. That's what I do. I think we're all on the same page on that one. Appreciate the call, Neil. One more high school football note that I didn't get to that was really shocking over the weekend. We told you that South Point lost overtime, double overtime game to Daniel, 50-49. What we didn't tell you is that their coach announced his retirement on the field after the game. Straight Heron. He gathered his team around and announced his retirement on the spot, right there on the field, post game. Apparently, figuring that, you know, his players were already down, having been eliminated surprisingly from the postseason, you might as well break the other sad news to him. Say, I'm out of here. How about that? This guy's only 50 years old. But I'm looking at a story from the Rock Hill Herald. Even though he's only 50, he became eligible for retirement from the state of South Carolina earlier this year in February. So, you know, I mean, if you've been with the school district for a while, you can retire pretty early. And yep. He had been. So he wanted one more chance to coach his team and take a shot at state history. They won four straight titles. No public school has ever won five straight state titles. So that was his plan. But this was going to be it. He said he hoped his career would end in Columbia in the state championship. He came back this morning and talked to his team again. They talked a lot about a controversial call that ended their season. But he also said, after meeting with his team this morning, kids are resilient. They'll move on. I'm more concerned about the coaches. Who knows what their future holds? Now, here's the other interesting thing. Straight Heron says he'll coach again in the future. Well, why not? He's 50 years old. He said he has lost his fire for teaching in a classroom setting, but not for coaching football. So if you think about that, then it's probably not a high school thing, right? Probably look for a college assistant job somewhere. If he doesn't want to do the classroom stuff. So it's an end of an era for South Point, and it's going to be a big hire for the athletic director. They've got a new one down there, first-year guy Adam Hare, and they got a new principal at South Point, and they'll have to go out and try to find somebody who can keep it going for the South Point Stallions. They are they have been one of the dominant teams in high school football in this state for a while, and it's just now kind of spreading the word that he told his team on the field after the 50-49 double overtime loss to Daniel last week on Friday that he's done. That he is done. Wow.
It wasn't there another coach earlier this year that, like, retired at halftime?
Yeah, wasn't that I don't remember where that was. But,
And we had an NFL player for
the
Bills.
There's an NFL player that left, yeah.
Well,
that's right.
There was a coach, I think, in high school that retired halfway through the game.
Yeah, that's wrong.
And then now we had a player in the NFL who retired.
Right.
At least he waited until the season was over.
That's right. I mean, I can't fault Straight Heron
for
this. Because the game was over, the season was over. Yeah, so he's not bailing on him, but he decided he just won't go ahead and get it over with. Tell him.
I think he could have waited a day or two.
He could have done it today, you know, after calling the team together, because he called them together today anyway and talked a little more with them. So that might have been an option, but he decided, hey, they're down. They just lost a double overtime game. Their season's over. I'm going to go ahead and tell them now. So he did. Anyway, be fascinating to watch what South Point does going forward to replace Straight Heron, a very good coach there over the years for South Point. 844-477-3776. Going to hear from another coach, Matt Canada. Man, was he dejected after he thought he had Ohio State beaten. Didn't happen for Maryland. That's coming up. Stay with us as we're rolling toward 4 o'clock this afternoon. Greg McKinney and Patrick Brown in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's Greg McKinney and Patrick Brown in here till 4 this afternoon, 844-477-3776. If you want to jump on board, and we have Kevin who wants to do that now. Kevin, welcome into the huddle. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good.
I think the key was on Straight Heron when you heard him say he still wanted to coach, but not teach.
Yep.
The high school academies were the – I think they're opening up a new one in Rock Hill, and when those academies instead of the state high schools may not have to teach, and that could be his avenue.
Okay.
I've heard that already, and then he turned around and retired as soon as it was over, and I'd done heard him rumored to go to the new one.
Yeah, I think they got one called Legion Collegiate Charter Academy opening up, and the other thing he's worried about is them stealing away players.
Right. That's the thing. He can recruit, and if he don't have to teach and just coach, he's setting himself up the way he wants it.
Yeah. Well, makes sense. Appreciate the call, though, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, man. They're already splitting resources. You know, had South Point come in and took away from Rock Hill and Northwestern, and now they've got this charter academy opening up, and that'll take some more guys out. So that could be part of the reason, because it's certainly not time for Straight Heron to retire at the age of 50 from coaching altogether, and he says he wants to coach some more. So,
see, when you preface the story, I thought there was like a medical thing wrong with him or something like that. You know, retiring at the age of 50, I'm like, oh, what's wrong with him? And they're like, no, he just doesn't want to teach anymore.
Right. That's it.
Gotcha.
All right. Makes sense, I guess. We'll wait for the next move, and that's probably going to be coming pretty soon for Straight Heron, the very successful coach at South Point after they were eliminated last Friday night. Man, for Maryland, the Terrapins, so close. Overtime loss to Ohio State, 52-51, in a game in which there wasn't a whole lot of defense. Ohio State rolled up 688 yards, but Maryland put up 535 on the Buckeyes. And the coach at Maryland, I guess still the interim coach, is Matt Canada. Pretty despondent after the game. Thought that this was a game that they would have won.
I'm disappointed that we didn't win the game, because all that stuff is fine. And, you know, the lesson is, and that's what, I mean, I'm proud of them. That's what I told them after the game. As a staff, we're really proud of them. They played really hard, and we just, you know, we wish we'd have won. That's it.
That's it. Didn't quite pull it off. 1-point loss for the Terps to Ohio State. So now Ohio State next has Michigan. They haven't been home coming up this weekend. And we'll have that game for you here on ESPN Upstate. We're going to carry that one for you. It's a noon kickoff on Saturday, Ohio State and Michigan. But, man, I know it's at Columbus. I don't like the way Michigan's playing versus the way the Buckeyes are playing, at least here lately. Although Michigan didn't win by a great margin either this past weekend. They didn't barely hang on in overtime like Ohio State did, 52-51 over that Maryland team. Let's go back to the phones, and we have Billy on the line now. Billy, welcome into the huddle. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Greg? How you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Very good, very good. Listen, just a little college football topics right fast. This is just me with a feeling. That's all it is. I have a feeling that Ohio State's about to pay for the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of dominance they've had over Michigan. I think Michigan's about ready to wear them out this weekend. I don't think it's going to be within 14 to 21 points, which is not a big spread. There's worse spreads, obviously, but when you're talking about two top 10 teams, that's a pretty good whipping. So we'll see. But Michigan, to me, is a much more complete team than Ohio State is. Ohio State can score on anybody, but they can't stop nobody.
Right, right. Michigan's really good defensively. They didn't blow out Indiana, though. It was an 11-point win. But I think you're right. I think they'll have it all ready to go. They're probably looking ahead a little bit to this Ohio State game.
That's what I think, too. I think they were probably, because of the way the rivalry's been lately, they probably were looking ahead. I thought they were going to beat Indiana worse than that too, but you know, obviously it didn't work out that way. But I think they probably had all their, they had, you know, they had 20/20 vision on Ohio State and wasn't thinking about Indiana at all. But the way that the playoff is working out, Greg, because I don't think nothing's going to change with the top four teams. It wouldn't surprise me if the Clemson game and the South Carolina game is closer than the 25. In fact, I think it's going to be closer than that. But I do think Clemson's going to win. And Alabama maybe gets pushed by Auburn or Georgia, but I don't think they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. Having said all that, I think that the Final Four is going to be what they are now. But I don't think it's going to be this cakewalk that a lot of Clemson and Alabama alumni and fans seem to think that it is. I think that this time, the 3-4 is legit. In fact, I kind of lean with them. If right now, the way that it matched up, if Alabama was playing Michigan and Clemson was playing Notre Dame, I would go with the 3-4.
Wow.
I mean, the 2-3. I'm sorry.
3-4.
I would go with Michigan 3-4. And Notre Dame over both Alabama and Clemson. I think they're playing much better. It's just my opinion, but if I'm wrong, you know, I'll call in and talk it. There's a long ways for that, but is it just me? Those two teams are really playing well right now, Greg.
Well, yeah, Notre Dame really looked good against Syracuse. A lot of people have been, discounting Notre Dame and saying they're overrated and all that. I've never been one of those. I think that's a good football team. I don't know that I would pick them right now to beat Clemson. I would prefer to hold off on that pick until we see if it stands up there. But I think that'd be a better game than some people think. And, yeah, Michigan can defensively can keep Alabama in a little more check and make that a close game too, I think.
Well, I think what's gone on over the last two or three years is that, you know, Alabama and Clemson, when they've not played each other, they've blown out the opposing teams. And I think that's got some of those fan bases spoiled. And I just don't think that these two teams, Michigan and Notre Dame, are the same that of the other teams that they played at that time frame. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. I think both Notre Dame and Michigan, you keep talking about Michigan's defense, which is legit. There's no doubt about that. But their offense is the reason why they've been winning. I mean, they have been blowing out everybody, and it's not because their defense is putting points on the board. Their offense is legit now, and that's been the key piece that's been missing there. And Notre Dame, I mean, they've been putting up some big numbers on everybody, too. I just don't think you can overlook those two teams. Anyway, listen, I'll hang up, and I'll probably call you Friday with some predictions with some of these rivalry games. I appreciate it, Greg.
Appreciate it, Billy. Oh, by the way, we won't be on Friday. But anyway, you can try.
Sturge will probably be on Friday.
Yeah. That's the look. Yeah, you can call Sturge and get his prediction.
As of right now, Sturge will be on Friday.
Yeah, we do have a game earlier in the day on Friday. Got BJ in. Let's get him in before the break. Hi, BJ. Welcome to the huddle.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well, BJ. What's up?
Talking on the number one Dallas Cowboy fan here. Want to talk about rivalry weekend.
All right.
And I got three games I want to make bold predictions for.
All right.
The first game is Thanksgiving. My Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, will beat the Washington Redskins. Second of all, spoiler alert, Friday night, Burns Rebels, look out. The Gaffney Indians are coming, and we're going to take over. 21-17 Gaffney.
Okay.
And my mighty Michigan Wolverines will beat the Ohio State Buckeyes. Yes, I said it. The Buckeyes.
Alright, so you mean to tell me right now, I hear it in your voice. I can feel your chest poking out. You think the boys are back, don't you? The boys are back, aren't they?
My head is hitting high right now and everything, and I'm feeling good.
Good. The Redskins will take you down a peg on Thursday.
Thank you, BJ. We appreciate the call, man. None of those are bold predictions, by the way. I mean, look, Gaffney, I know Burns beat Gaffney by 20 points in the regular season. Gaz is the only loss for Gaffney this year.
Exactly.
That's a really good football team, and they'll come in ready for this game, so I think that's a close game.
Plus, it's hard to beat a team two times in one season.
It is. It happens, but it is hard. And then, look, Ohio State, Michigan, that's not a bold prediction.
That's not a bold prediction.
No. And then even Dallas and Washington.
Alex Smith is out. You have Colt McCoy making his comeback into Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of that could happen. But, you know, if all three are happening, then we'll give him credit for that, right?
No.
That's three good predictions. That's three predictions that you got
right. It's three predictions that he got
games,
right.
I would give him a little bit of credit for that.
If he went on the phone and said the Lions were going to win by 20 and it happened, I would be at his feet saying, you are right.
Okay.
That's a bold prediction.
That is a bold prediction. Anytime you pick the Lions to win by 20 is a bold prediction. 844-477-3776. Health Air text line 71307. Last chance to get in if you want to jump on board before we get out of here for the Monday huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. So if I'm looking at this right, I went 10-0 in the picks last weekend in the college football huddle picks. So it's probably good that Lonzo's off this week.
Now we know the real reason why Lonzo took off.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Richmond, and we may not have another show this week. We don't know. It depends on what Clemson does tomorrow. By the way, they'll be playing Georgia tomorrow because Georgia's closing out their win over Illinois State. So that'll be a 1 o'clock airtime here on ESPN Upstate. Clemson beat Akron earlier today in college basketball, 72-69, and Georgia has just wrapped up their win over Illinois State. So that's tomorrow here, and depending on what they do tomorrow, we may or may not be back on Wednesday. If Clemson wins tomorrow, they play Wednesday night. But if they should lose to Georgia tomorrow, then they'll play at 1 o'clock on Wednesday airtime. So anyway, let's get one more call in from Brian here. Let's talk about that Michigan-Ohio State rivalry. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
A slightly more bold prediction than your previous caller.
All right.
Michigan's looked very good the last half of the year. Ohio State has looked terrible, basically. I mean, they probably should have three or four losses by now. Yet Vegas is only making this line 4. Ohio State will absolutely win this football game. 100%. You can write it in the books. And that will throw a huge monkey wrench.
Then Oklahoma
is for sure going to lose one of the two games that they have to play with West Virginia or whoever they play in the championship game. So then they'll be looking at, do we let a 2-loss Georgia in, a 1-loss Ohio State, who has looked miserable.
Yeah.
But Ohio State will 100% beat Michigan this weekend just because Vegas is, I mean, they're making everybody bet Michigan by only making that line 4 because everybody thinks Michigan's going to blow them out. So that's my bold prediction.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Patrick, you wanted to say something?
Here's the thing. He missed one team. It's my favorite team right now.
Is that?
You forgot the Cougars of Washington State, baby.
Yeah.
One loss. They could be the Pac-12 champions.
They close out with one loss.
If Michigan loses, I want Mike Leach for college football playoff. I just want him for the pre- and post games. I just want him to talk about the games.
No, that'd be fun. I'm all in on that.
I want Leach versus Saban. Give me that press conference.
Yeah. I'm with you. I like that. Hey, by the way, if you're worried about the Washington Redskins because of the Alex Smith injury, not to worry anymore because today they signed Mark Sanchez.
You know what the great thing about that is? On Thursday, it's the 8-year anniversary.
Of the butt fumble?
Yes, sir.
So Colt McCoy will get the start, but Mark Sanchez will be the backup for the Washington Redskins after Alex Smith broke the tibia and fibula, both of them, in his right leg in that loss to the Texans. So McCoy then butt fumble Sanchez in. All is well for the Redskins, not to worry.
And the thing is about the Alex Smith injury, happened the same day as the Joe Theismann injury.
Oh, wow.
Same leg, too.
Yeah. All right, we're not here tomorrow because Clemson will be playing Georgia tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Possibly back with you on Wednesday. Just depends on what the Clemson Tigers do. In any event, I'll be back on Friday night for Burns-Gaffney football. We know that, unless they move the game. So keep it here on ESPN Upstate, and we'll keep you up to date. Thanks for filling in, Patrick. We appreciate it. Straight Up with Sturgis coming up next. I'm Greg McKinney. Have a great afternoon, and thanks for listening to The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.